Amen. Again, it's just good to be in the Lord's house with you and just listening to your moment of fellowship. I could just sense the joy and the strength in the hearts and lives of God's people. And just all a reflection, God is faithful. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord today, then we love the word of the Lord. Amen. Love God's word. I love God's word. You know, it's amazing. I was raised a pastor's son. I grew up, church was the most boring thing I've ever had to do. And I remember everything from sitting in back pews, hiding magazines in my socks, to bringing my Spider-Man comic books. You know, my dad would be preaching, I'd start reading my Spider-Man comic books. I found out all kinds of ways to entertain myself while my dad was preaching. But I have to tell you, when I got saved, I immediately fell in love with the Word of God. Couldn't get enough of it. I'd pull 10-hour shifts, come home, find a newspaper, go to the church happenings, and I'd find where there's revival services going on, Church of God, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, it didn't matter. As long as they were going to be teaching and preaching the Bible, I wanted to be there. And it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit, when he truly comes into your life, how suddenly just the things of God come alive to you. And I always pray in my heart, I never want to lose that. You know, you can walk with God and lose those kind of things, you know. You know, we read about Joshua. You know, Moses left the tabernacle, but the Bible says that Joshua remained in the tabernacle where the glory of God was. And what that just speaks about Joshua is he just had a hunger to be in anointed places. Wherever the Spirit of God was moving, wherever the Spirit of God was abiding, he just had a hunger in his heart to be in anointed places. And I never want to lose that. I never want to lose my heart for God's house. Never want to lose that. How many of you can say, I never want to lose that? Hey, amen. It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be with his people. Amen. Well, I don't know why the Lord put this message on my heart for this morning. I have to be honest with you. Some of the things I'm going to say are going to be hard to hear. But yet I have a confidence in my heart that I have the mind of the Lord this morning. I have the heart of the Lord this morning. And if we'll just have a heart to hear it, the word's going to have life. The word's going to have freedom. The word's going to have power in it today. So let's open our hearts to the word of God this morning. What I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about when God crosses his hands. When God crosses his hands. Go with me to Genesis chapter 48. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. We're just going to go through different sections in this chapter, verse 1 and 2. It says, now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Go with me to verse 8. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near to him and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your children. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees and bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. Then Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, his right hand, and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Look with me at verse 17. Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people and shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. When God crosses his hands, let's pray. Father, I'm just asking for your help this morning. I'm just asking that you would come and that you would strengthen me by your power. And Lord, that you would just give me a clarity of heart, a clarity of mind. Lord, these truths that are upon my heart, Father, help me to speak them with your mind and with clarity, God. And there would be an understanding in the hearts of your people of how oftentimes you choose to work within our lives. Lord, I pray that in the end we would see your goodness and we would see your faithfulness, and there would just be something in our hearts that would one more time just want to surrender to the way that you choose to work in our lives. Father, I thank you, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You awake? Amen. Beloved, most of us are familiar with Jacob's story, so please just give me a moment to have a brief background. We know that Jacob's sons were jealous over Joseph because Jacob really loved Joseph. The reason why he loved Joseph is because Joseph was the son of his beloved wife, Rachel. And in their jealousy, they ended up selling Joseph to a caravan of Midianites who took him into slavery. And Joseph's brothers went to their father and said that he's dead. A wild beast has devoured him. And it's then that Jacob begins to grieve for many years, many years. But one day his sons come back from Egypt and they tell their father, "Jacob is not dead. He's alive." And just keep in mind, we're making a long story short. He's not dead, he's alive. And Jacob ends up going to Egypt, and he sees that it's true. And what a reunion, what a time of celebration that they have together. And as the days begin to pass, Jacob truly begins to realize ultimately what God's overall plan was in it. And he began to truly realize that the favor and the blessing that was upon the life of Joseph. And we see in Joseph's time in Egypt that there is no bitterness in his heart, that his heart is truly overcome by the goodness of God. His heart is truly overcome by how much God favored Joseph and honored Joseph. And his heart is overcome because he truly sees the goodness of God in Joseph's life. And he's just so grateful that God has blessed him with a good life. And then we find years pass, and when Jacob is 147 years old, Jacob is on his deathbed, and it's then that Joseph brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to his bedside to seek his father's blessing. And so I want to pick up the story. I want to go back to our chapter, and just look with me at verse 11. And Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your children." He said, "Joseph, I had not the thought to see your face. I truly thought you were dead, but now I not only see your face, but I also see your children. I see my grandchildren." And I really want you to weigh the weightiness of Jacob's words. I really want you to just take a moment and capture the tremendous weight that is upon Jacob's words. You know, again, he says, "I had not thought to ever see your face again, and look, God has shown me your children." And what I want you to capture is that what we hear in his voice is he's marveling over God's goodness in his life. That Jacob finally understands what God has been working all of his time. He finally understands what God's ultimate plan in all of it was. And there's nothing but a sense of gratefulness in his heart that Jacob is just so overcome by the goodness of God in his life. He's so overcome by God's infinite wisdom. Yet that Joseph was a great loss in Jacob's life. He was a very painful loss. But in one moment of time, Jacob understood it all, and the tremendous goodness of God prevailed in Jacob's life. And what God accomplished was greater than what Jacob could have ever imagined. And beloved, what I simply want to say is, all of us are going to experience deep disappointments in our life. All of us are going to experience painful disappointment in our lives. But maybe it's because in the long run, God is going to do something much bigger than our expectations can ever imagine. And in this, God may be saying to somebody today, in your life, you may see this or that as a loss today, but one day my goodness is going to triumph and I'm going to far exceed your expectation. What you see as a loss today is actually a stepping stone to something so much bigger and greater than you've ever imagined. You may not fully understand now, but when that day comes, you will fully understand and magnify the goodness of God in your life. Amen. Now, here's what's really on my heart. That was just sort of an introduction. Here's what's really on my heart. Go back to our text. Go with me back to chapter 48. Look with me at verse 13 and 14. It says, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Look with me at verse 17. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of the nations. So here's what I want you to capture. Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn. And as his firstborn, he had the right to his father and grandfather's greatest blessing. As the firstborn, he had the right to his father and grandfather's highest blessing. And the father's right hand was always used to pronounce that blessing because that right hand always represented the hand of favor and strength. So when Joseph brought his sons to Jacob to bless them, he positioned Manasseh so he would correspond with Jacob's right hand, the place of preeminence. But Joseph did something unusual. Joseph did something out of sort. He crossed his hands so that his right hand of favor and blessing, capture this, he crossed his hands so his right hand of favor and blessing was resting upon Joseph's youngest son, Ephraim. And when you read the story, Joseph thought it was because of his father's bad eyesight. Well, truly, his eyesight has failed him, and he's got my two sons mixed up, and that's why he placed his right hand, the right hand of favor, on my youngest son. So Joseph reaches over, and he takes the hands of his father, Jacob, and he wants to switch hands again. And when, I want you to capture this, when Jacob placed his right hand, he crossed his right hand and placed it upon his youngest son. The Bible says that Joseph objects. In fact, in verse 17, it says Joseph was displeased. In other words, this was something that made Joseph unhappy. This was something that ruffled Joseph's feathers. This was something that got under Joseph's skin. And he takes hold of his father's hand, and in protest, he says, not so, my father. But Jacob responds, I know, my son. I know you didn't expect this. From the time that Manasseh was born, that fatherly pride in your heart just looked forward to the day that you could bless this son. I know that fatherly pride in your heart. From the moment Manasseh was born, the fatherly pride of your heart looked forward to the day that you would pronounce your blessing over his life. But please understand me, Joseph, it's not a mistake. This is the way God has chosen to work. It's not a mistake. And here's the truth I'm getting at. Here's the truth I want us to recognize. God often crosses his hands. He regularly does the exact opposite of what we expect or what we want. Capture. He often crosses his hands. He often does the exact opposite of what we want or expect. In other words, we bring our desires time after time to his right hand, but he gives our desires his left hand. We long to find success in one part of our life, but God blesses another area we never anticipated. We bring our carefully planned out plans to the Lord, and he says to us, "Your plan is not my plan. I'm going to give it my left hand." We bring our dreams and our goals to the Lord, and he directs us on another path altogether. God, this wasn't my dream. This isn't my goal for my life. This isn't what I hope to achieve in life. And the Lord says, I need you to understand something. Your plan is not my plan. I'm giving it my left hand. Amen. In other words, we bring our understanding and our plans and our dreams and our reasoning to God's left, to his right hand. But he says, no, I'm going to give it my left hand. Now, beloved, let me just give you an example of this, and many of you that have heard this, just please bear with me, but I think it really makes my point. You know, when I was age 15, I fell in love with music. Music just became my life. And I began to study music, and I began to practice music. And when I turned 18, it was my dream to go to a music college and just study music. Be a musician. That was my dream. I want to be a musician. More than anything in this world, I want to be a musician. And I wanted it so bad, I enlisted in the United States Army for 3 years just to get the GI Bill. The GI Bill is they would cover 70%, 5% of my schooling, and I would just have to cover the rest of it. And that's what they were offering. That was what's on the table. Tim, if you'll join the Army, we'll give you the GI Bill. So I went into the Army, and I endured 3 years of military life. Not that I wanted to be a soldier, and I was a faithful soldier. I did everything only, but my mind was at GI Bill, school, college, music. All I need is just endure 3 years, and I'll have that GI Bill. And I endured 3 years. I went through everything from basic training to airborne training to this training to that training. I endured it. And when I came out of the military with my GI Bill in hand. Now I can go to school. I can study music full time. But then I got saved. And I had my honeymoon time with God. But I'll never forget the moment he came to my heart and he said, "Tim, that GI Bill, you will never use it. That's not my plan for your life. Being a musician is not my plan. I gave you the gift, but that is not my plan for your life. You will never use it." I said to the Lord, "What do you mean I'll never use it? Do you know what I endured for 3 years? Military life, the discipline, the strictness, the rigorousness of it. Do you know what I endure?" Listen, when they say on the TV, we get things done before 9 a.m. than most people do all day, they're not joking. For 3 years I endured. And now you're telling me I'm not going to use it. Tim, I'm telling you, you're not going to use it. That's not my plan for your life. You know, as I began to follow God's plan for my life, there were times that it really hurt. But yet, as I walked with God, I began to understand why he chose his plan over my plan. I began to understand it. And beloved, what I'm saying is, There are going to be times in all of our lives when we bring something to God's right hand, but he gives it his left. And he puts his right hand of favor and strength on something we never anticipated. Wow, I never saw that coming. I never thought you would use this in my life. I never thought you would do that in my life. You know, he'll take his right hand and just put it on things that you never saw coming. Amen. And sometimes, like Joseph, we protest. We protest. No, Lord, no. Bless this, not that. Anybody else beside me ever told him that? Lay the right hand of your favor, power, and blessing on this, not that. This is my dream. This is my desire. This is my ambition. This is my aspiration, not that. Lay your hand of favor and power on this, not that. And sometimes we protest just a little longer than Joseph did. Sometimes we resist just a little longer than Joseph did. Sometimes we fight just a little longer than Joseph did because of our disappointment and confusion and frustration. But when our strength finally runs out, and I no longer have the strength to argue with God, and I no longer have the strength to resist God, and I just no longer have the strength to say, God, not that, this. That's when we begin to hear God's voice say, I know my son. I know my daughter. This is not what you expected. And I understand the frustration and confusion. But my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are unsearchable. I'm choosing to do it my way because my way is the better way. A way you will come to understand is better in the soon and coming days. But until then, you have to trust me. And it's then God gives us the grace to yield. It's then God gives us the grace to just put it on the altar and give it to the Lord. And as we yield and resolve to trust God, as God's plan begins to unfold in our lives, something else happens. We grow in the peace of God. God's peace deepens in our life. You see, we begin to see his wisdom in his plan he has chosen for our life, and our trust grows and our peace deepens. You know, a wonderful woman of God once said, we will experience greater peace in our lives when we love and trust a God we may not fully understand, rather than when we are constantly trying to conform him into an image that we have created. Peace just comes with submission, doesn't it? Question, why does God sometimes give our desires his left hand and places his right hand upon the places we never anticipated? Go with me back to chapter 48. Look with me at verse 19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. And I really want to emphasize, you know, he says your brother is going to become greater than he. And that word greater in the Hebrew, here's what I want you to capture. That word greater in the Hebrew, it's an interesting word. It's a word that doesn't actually mean to become great. It's not how we think of the word greatness. It doesn't mean someone who becomes great. That's not the Hebrew meaning of this word. This word actually means, it means to make strong by twisting. In other words, it implies taking something that is weak and making it strong by intertwining it with something that's stronger. In other words, we become great, but it's in our weakness that we become great. We become great simply because in our weakness, God comes and he ties himself to us. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, I want you to capture that. I really want you to capture that. When we ask God, here's where I'm going with this. When we ask God, why are you placing your favor on this of all things? Why are you placing your blessing on this of all things? This is God's answer. This is the place where my strength is going to be revealed. This is the place where my strength is going to be glorified. It's in your place of weakness that my strength is going to be glorified. I'm not choosing your strong points. I'm choosing to use your weak points. And I'm doing it for a reason. It's because I want my strength to be glorified in your places of weakness. Beloved, please hear me. There are just going to be times God is going to choose our weak places. And I want you to emphasize the word choose. Please capture this. I know it's not very popular, but sometimes this is how God works. There are just going to be times God is going to purposely choose our weak areas over our strengths. But God, this is my strength. I know, that's why I'm not choosing it. God, this is where I'm capable. I know, that's why I'm not choosing it. God, this is where I'm strong. This is where I'm talented. This is where I'm gifted. Yes, I know you're strong, talented, and gifted, but I'm telling you that's one of the reasons why I'm choosing not to use it. Yeah, I gave you your giftings and your talents, and in my walk, in my wisdom, I will use it according to my mind, my wisdom. But I want you to understand, it's because there are strengths in your life. That's why I'm choosing not to use it. Because it's in your weak places I'm going to be glorified. Amen. Beloved, understand, there's just going to be times where God is purposely going to choose our weak areas over our strengths. And there will be times perplexity will fill our hearts. God, this is where I'm capable. This is where I'm efficient. This is where I'm competent. This is where I'm proficient. Why would you choose this instead? And the Lord's answer is because this is where my strength is going to be glorified through your life. Amen. I'm telling you, if I'm just going to say, if we're one of those insecure people that just always like to lean upon the places where we're strong and capable, God is going to break that in your life. Now, I want to talk about Jacob's hands for a moment. You know, when Joseph brings his two sons before Jacob, at this time, Jacob is 147 years old. So I want you to picture this. He's 147 years old. So these hands of his are fatherly hands. I want you to capture that. These hands are very seasoned hands. And as fatherly hands, I want to describe these hands. Number one, these are tender hands. Tender hands. Beloved, the hands that Jacob placed upon Joseph's hands were tender hands, fatherly hands. They were hands that were firm in their resolve, but gentle. And when God places his hand over ours to pry away those things that are just not a part of his will for our lives, those are tender hands. You see, God knows it's not easy to die to your dreams, and it's not easy to die to your desires, and it's not easy to die to those things that we've harbored in our hearts for so long. He knows we're going to feel the hurt and the disappointment for a season of losing these things. And the hands that are taking them from us are tender hands. The hands that are pulling them away from us are tender hands. You know, thinking about Joseph, at this moment, standing at his father's bedside, Joseph is physically a powerful man. Egypt has made Joseph strong. Jacob is a very old man now, and his strength is no match for Joseph's. Yet it wasn't Jacob's strength that prevailed over Joseph's will. It was Jacob's gentleness. And it's the gentleness of God that prevails in our lives. It's the gentleness of God that prevails over our wills. It's the gentleness of God that prevails over our refusals. It's the gentleness of God that prevails over our strength. It's the gentleness of God that prevails over our desires. It's the gentleness of God that prevails over our determination. It's the gentleness of God that shapes everything in our lives. Psalm 18:35 says, the psalmist says, now capture it. The psalmist says, thy gentleness has made me great. Beloved, God's strength to make great women and men and women of God is in his gentleness. Amen. It was those tender hands, those gentle hands that prevailed over Joseph's will. And God's strength to prevail over our will, to prevail over our stubbornness sometimes, to prevail over our determination is in his gentleness. Number two, these are patient hands. As a 147-year-old man who has weathered many storms in his walk with God, Jacob's hands were patient hands. And beloved, God knows our disappointment. God knows our confusion. God knows our frustration. God knows the grief every time we ask the question, God, why am I losing this? God, why do I have to surrender this? God, why are you rejecting this? He knows it all, and he so patiently bears with us through the dying pains. Patient hands. Number three is hands were tempered hands. You know, no matter how hard we kick sometimes, no matter how hard we resist, no matter how hard we struggle, God will not lose his patience and react. God will not lose his patience and retaliate. God knows we struggle to let go of things, not because we don't love him, but because we do love him. It's not because I don't want to do his will that I'm struggling, but it's because everything within me wants his will. It is because I want to do his will that I'm asking for grace to surrender. It's because I want to do his will that I'm asking for grace to let go. It's because I want to do his will that I'm asking for grace to die. Amen. And number four, the hands that Jacob placed over Joseph's. You know, Jacob placed his hands over Joseph's and he had to push Joseph's hands away. The hands that Jacob placed over Joseph's hands were wise hands. They were hands refined by the wisdom of God. Jacob learned God's ways through disappointment. Jacob learned God's ways through seasons of confusion. Jacob learned God's ways through humility and humiliation, because God's ways are not man's ways. Because God's ways are so unlike our ways, it's impossible to learn how God works without times of failing in our own human understanding. There are times we will try to work things out in our logic and reasoning, really believing this is the way God works, only to find ourselves humbled and even humiliated because it was altogether different than how God chooses to work. But Jacob knows now how God chooses to work. He understands now that God uses the weak things to confound the strong and the foolish things to confound the wise. And he knows now God's ways are best. And here's my point. In the end, God's ways never disappoint us because his wisdom is infinite. As we walk with him in faith, we see more and more clearly his choices for our lives are infinitely better than anything we could have chosen for our lives. Amen. As you walk with God, you begin to understand more and more his choices for your lives are infinitely greater and better than our own choices. And we begin to trust more and more in his wisdom and in his plans for our lives. Amen. But Pastor Tim, that's not the God I want to serve. I want a God who's going to look at my dreams and my ambitions and the things I want in life and say, yeah, I'll bless those. Well, you know, there's plenty of places where you can find that God. But I'm telling you, if you want his will for your life, there will be times God's going to say, you just have to put it on the altar and let it die because it is not my plan for your life. But if you will trust me, ultimately, you will find out, yeah, there's a cost to following God, but his goodness outweighs the cost. Amen. You know, here's how I want to close. You know, I was just thinking about East Harlem Fellowship, you're on your retreat. And the theme God gave you for your retreat is, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And I began to think, God, where in the world does this message fit in? I'm going to do a new thing. You know, in your retreat, God has been encouraging you. I want to do something new in your life. I want to do something fresh in your life. I want to do something exciting in your life. I want to do something so unique and so original in your life. That's the word that God has been giving you. And I'm telling you, it's a good word. I remember our time together Friday night. I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday. But here's a thought that crossed my mind. Sometimes before God can do a new thing, he has to get rid of an old thing. Sometimes before he can do a new thing, he's going to say, I want to do something so far above your expectations, but before I can do it, there are just some things you're going to have to put on an altar and let die. And it will be tough. It will be hard. It will be a struggle at first. But my hands are tender hands, and they're wise hands. And they're tempered hands, and they're gracious hands. And what you don't have the strength in yourself to do, I will place my hands of grace over yours. And I'll give you the strength to let it go. But don't just let it go. I want you to understand something. There is a cost to following God. Sometimes it costs you everything. But know my goodness so outweighs the cost. I will bless you exceeding abundantly above all. This new thing that I want to do in your life grace will just so leave you amazed. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team, can you just come back up for a moment? I do want to give an altar call. I do. Maybe you're here this morning, and God is saying, I want to do a new thing, but before I can do a new thing, there's an old thing we have to put down. And only you know what that is. This altar call might be for one, it might be for a few, but only you know what it is. And maybe there are just some people here, and you're just sensing the Lord is asking you to put something on an altar. You know, you brought something to his right hand. You said, God, would you bless this? And God says, nope, that's not what I'm going to bless in your life. I'm going to put my hand on something you never expected. And sometimes it can be hard to surrender those things, but I'm telling you, the hands of God are here. And if you'll just have a willingness to surrender, if God's asking for it, if you'll just have a willingness to surrender, God will put his tender, kind, patient, strong hands over yours, and he will help you let it go. But just know, yeah, it's a cost to put things on an altar, but God's goodness so outweighs the cost. You can't even begin to imagine what God would do through a heart of surrender. Amen. So that's my altar call. You know, Pastor Tim, I really sense the Lord is asking me to put something on an altar. And I just need his help. I'm willing. Lord, would you help me? Amen. So if that's you, why don't you just come and just have a time with the Lord. And just give it over to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and close in service. Stand with me if you would. Unless you know, if you're in the altar, just feel free to stay there. Feel free to sit in your pews, but I'm going to go ahead and close. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this service. God, I just thank you for coming, Lord, and just speaking to our hearts right where we're at, God. Lord, I do pray my brothers and sisters would just capture the revelation through the life of Jacob and Joseph, that there are just times you're going to give our strengths your left hand, and you're going to give our weaknesses your hand of favor and blessing. And God, you're going to place your right hand of anointing and power and favor upon places we never even anticipated, God. And Lord, sometimes it does come with a cost, Lord. But Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters would ultimately walk out here with a revelation in their heart that yes, sometimes it costs everything. But yet God's goodness so outweighs the cost. Father, seal that within our hearts. And God, we just thank you for this time together. And we love you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to leave. Could y'all just play a couple minutes just in... somebody might want to tarry a little longer.